Blog Talk Radio.
Outreach Ministries on Sunday. And yes, he is the great I am. Yes, he did go all the way to Calvary for us. And yes, he does whatever it takes to meet our needs. He is the all-sufficient one. And we should look to him continually for every single need of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and Assistant Pastor Bill is here, and you are all here, and God is in our midst. Amen? Because he promises that wherever two or more of us are gathered together in his name, that he would be present. Amen? So we know God can't lie and that he does what he says and that he fulfills his will for us. Amen. Amen. I hear this sound and it tells me I need to fix something. And I think I need to do that right now. Amen. There we go. Praise the Lord. Now, saints, we want to thank those of you who joined us during the week for our spiritual warfare due to the circumstances outside of the United States and Afghanistan. I want to thank all of you that stood with us as the Lord called us into spiritual warfare. It's always the right time when the Lord says now.
Amen.
It's always the right time when he says, let's do this. It means you don't wait, you don't hesitate, you don't think about something else. You immediately move into action because you see lives are at stake. Destinies are at stake. Yes, there were lives lost, but the Lord had told us about that last Sunday when we prayed. He told us that they would go back and recast. He told us that there would be lives lost, that those that were ready to come home to be with him, he was going to take them home. You see, we ask, whether you recall or not, we ask that for every drop of Christian blood, the life of every Christian that lost their life that day, that the Lord would give us millions of souls from that area. The enemy just walked into a trap, you see. The enemy cannot win. He cannot win. So, yes, lives were lost, but they went home to be with the Lord. Those that belonged to Jesus went home to be with the Lord. They graduated. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to go home. I'm here to tell you. It's nothing to turn your nose up at. It's a wonderful thing to go home. It's a wonderful thing to go home. Amen. I know some people haven't had that glimpse of heaven, but let me assure you, heaven is a wonderful place. It's simply marvelous. Nothing at all like what we've known here on earth. Heaven is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place. However, why would you want to go to heaven if you don't know the God of heaven? Why would you want to go someplace and not know who lives there? You want to go there and stay forever? Well, wouldn't you want to know the one who lives there? Well, now's a good time to get to know him. Now is a good time to seek his face. Now is a good time to go further in your own personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, this is not a religion. There are religions, but this is not a religion. This is a relationship with Almighty God. And relationships go on and on and on and on. If the participants in the relationship choose to continue. So we're believing the Lord that you will make the right decision, that you'll make the right choice, and that you'll choose to continue on in your relationship with the Lord, not being distracted by any worldly thing. Amen? It's a relationship worth developing. It is the most important relationship of your life. It is the ultimate relationship. It transcends all other relationships. It is the best thing that has ever happened to you. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, you have received the best blessing while you're still on earth.
Amen.
And we pray for those who are yet to get the point. Amen? Some are struggling. They're having a hard time getting the point. But trust me, the Lord knows how to bring them to that point. Amen. He's faithful, and we trust him, and we thank him. But, you know, people have a choice. They can choose to reject him, and they can receive the consequences of their decision, just as we have chosen to receive him, and we have the blessing from that choice. And our blessings don't ever stop. They multiply and multiply and multiply some more. So you see, you may choose what appears to be the glittery way. Oh, everybody's over here, and end up in the wrong place at the end. Or you can choose the way that few have chosen, but they're the strong. They're the victorious. Amen? Amen. So we want to thank the Lord that he brought us to this place where we have chosen him and there's no turning back. We're not looking back at anything because there's nothing behind us to look back for. Everything is ahead of us. Everything is ahead of us. Doesn't matter how difficult it becomes, it's the best thing. I've never been with anyone that was dying that was sorry they were a Christian. I've been with people when they're dying, but I've never been with one that was a Christian that was sorry they were a Christian. He is our blessed hope. Amen. We don't live just in this world only. There's a time to leave here. And it doesn't mean when you get old. People leave here from birth to into the hundreds. There's plenty of time to leave. There's no guarantee you're going to make it into the hundreds. But you see, the day comes when the Holy Spirit takes the church, the believers, out of the earth. And regardless of how many years you've been on the earth, when it's time to go, it's time to go. The question is, will you be ready when the time comes? Will you be counted worthy to leave? You see, if you backslide, you won't be leaving. You'll be right here, and you'll be without the presence of the Holy Spirit, which means the devils have free reign. You see, the Holy Spirit holds the devils back. So why would any believer want to live here without him? He's the one who transports us from earth to glory. So why would any believer want to be without the Holy Spirit? So you see, we could leave at any time. Jesus said so. He said we'd know the seasons, but we wouldn't know the day nor the hour. And every day gets us a day closer to that time. Every day moves us one step closer to leaving. People that you witnessed to that ignored you will be here when you're gone. People that you've prayed and fasted for that refuse to surrender, they'll be here when you're gone. You see, the Bible tells us to work while it's day because the time comes when no man can work. So if you're going to fast and pray and intercede for somebody to come into the kingdom, now would be the time to do that. Yes, we have a revival that's coming. It's already begun, but it's really going to gain momentum. And it's a revival of repentance. Aren't you glad that you've gotten started? It's a revival of repentance. And when it is consummated, that's it. The day will come, the Holy Spirit just, and we're out. It's no such thing. It's, I get to go back and tell her one more time. Nope, that's over. When the dispensation of grace, when that door closes, when that season of life comes to an end, we're out of here. Now, there are those who think that we're going to go through this and we're going to go through that and we're going to go through whatever we're going through, God will take us out. So I encourage you to witness while you can. I encourage you to fast and pray while you can, and pray that you will be counted worthy to leave when it's time to go. Time is winding up. If you notice, there is a whole generation of people that were generals in God's army. They're gone, all of them. All of them, they're gone. They were commanders in the earth. When they spoke, all the Christians listened. Didn't matter what denomination. They're all gone. They've moved on. And there are no replacements for them either. It's time for the church to get serious about God. We have people that come to church that think it's just a party and a game, and you go through the motions and you tipped your hat to God. No, that's not the way this works. You actually have to live the scriptures. You actually have to obey God every single day of your life. He must be the most important person in your life. He cannot be less important than you are to yourself. So the question is not just what you do while you are here, but where will you be when you leave? Where will you be? Will you be here with the rest of the sinners because you refuse to sell out to Jesus? Or will you get to leave when the Holy Spirit takes the body of Christ out of the earth? That's a good question. No one can answer that but you and the Lord. But it's an important question to answer. You see, at some point, you have to decide if you're on the Lord's side. You must make a choice. You must take a stand. Your friends and your family cannot do it for you. It's a decision that you alone must make. Are you going to be fully persuaded, totally committed, and sold out to Jesus? No matter what comes, are you going to be sold out to him? It's up to you. It's up to you. Amen? Amen. We want to thank all of our first-time listeners for joining us today. Amen? It's a blessing to have you, and we encourage you to join us on Wednesdays and Fridays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America when we broadcast live yet again. We are here every week unless we have some technical or computer problem that gets in the way. But otherwise, we're here. Amen? We don't fail to show up even during the holiday. Isn't that right? So,
amen.
God blesses his people. He's continually blessing his people. God is always in the blessing business. And if you need a blessing, that's where you need to go. You need to go to the Lord. Whatever you need, he's the great I am, and he supplies every single need. If you're listening for the first time, we invite you to join us in our chat room. And our chat room is located on our webpage. Our webpage is www.miracleinternetchurch.com. That's miracleinternetchurch.com. Across the banner, if you're on a computer, you will see MIC Radio Chat. Click that link and join the rest of us in the chat room, who are watching the scriptures as they're being posted and participating in the worship service. Amen? If you're on a cellular device, if you're on a cell phone, access your browser, miracleinternetchurch.com, and as the page comes up, you'll see three white dashes against a black background. That's your link. Click that, and it will open up all the other links to you. We also have a Global Prayer Warriors prayer room where you may pray. That's right. You may pray in five lines. You may ask your Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ for what you need and leave a few scriptures to confirm your prayer request. And the rest of us will come alongside and come into agreement with the answers and solutions to whatever you're asking for. We will come into agreement with the Godhead, and we'll come into agreement with your scriptures for God to move in your life or in your loved one's life or whatever the need might be. Amen? We still have a few people who come up and ask us personally for prayer, and I've attempted to explain that we're not God, and we don't answer prayers. So to come up and say, I need prayer for this, and I need prayer for that, and I need prayer for this, and I need prayer for that, isn't exactly how we do it. Because if you just tell me, well, I know that, but I don't know what you really believe about that. You see? So your prayer should start out something like, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. And you proceed within five lines to tell the Lord yourself what you need and what you want. And then you leave a couple of scriptures so we'll know which scriptures you're standing on. And then we can come alongside and come in agreement with you. We can come into agreement with you before the throne of God. And God will move on your behalf. Amen? Amen. So that's how we operate in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room. Amen? It's a blessing to have people come into agreement with your prayer. But we do need those few scriptures so we'll know what you're believing about your prayer request. You see, we would hate for somebody to come up and say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want that man that's married to that woman across the street. Well, see, there's no scriptures to back that up. Not a one. In fact, they go in the opposite direction. So we know that we can't come into agreement with that one. So you need to tell us what scriptures. Well, I don't know any scriptures. Well, the King James Version of the Bible begins at Genesis and it ends at Revelation. Somewhere in between, there are at least two scriptures to help you. Just open the book. Something will pop out at you. I guarantee you. Because God is a lover of our souls, and the Holy Spirit is here to help us. And if you ask the Holy Spirit to help you find a scripture, he will. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We also began our services by celebrating Holy Communion. Amen? We come before the Lord and we ask him to forgive us of our sins. Why? Because we're human and we act like humans act. Amen? So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for forgiveness today. We want to thank you, Lord, that you're our advocate, Lord Jesus, and you speak on our behalf whenever things go awry in our lives. When we step out of line, when we lose pace with you, when we disconnect when we should stay connected, when we just outright sin and we know we're wrong, we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We ask you to apply the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you have not forgotten the covenant of blessing that you established when you died on the cross. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you that you wash our sins away, that you place them in a sea of forgetfulness, farther from us than east is from west, Lord. Lord, help us to recognize when we're going wrong. Sometimes we're so busy doing what we're doing that we're not really paying attention, especially if we are speaking. So, Lord, we thank you for cleansing us and purging us. We thank you for correction. We thank you that once we're corrected, we know the right thing to do from then on. I thank you yesterday for correcting me when I was at the dinner table. I had completely forgotten about something, and you reminded me. Thank you. Amen. You're a good God, and you're faithful. And if you have your elements now, we will enter into Holy Communion together. Praise the Lord. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show and proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
And amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are the glory and the lifter up of our heads. You are a shield for us. You are our glory. We thank you. We call on our glory. We call on our shield. We call the lifter up of our heads to shield us, to bring your glory upon us, and to lift up our head. We praise you, Lord, for who you are and your desire to manifest yourself to us. Lord Jesus, you are our advocate with the Father. You plead our cause. You are our righteousness. You are all of our burnt offerings and sacrifices together in one. We ask you to speak on our behalf when we go astray in sin. We thank you for standing in support of us and not only being with us, but forever remaining for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are for each of us. Others may be with us, but you are for us. How precious our love is. Lord Jesus, speak for us. We need you to speak for us today. Your words are spirit and they are life to us. Speak, Lord, speak for us today. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man and all of his evil angels, evil spirits, all demonic agents, all of his underlings, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders, and we cancel all demonic assignments against the righteous in Jesus' name. We invite everyone to come in agreement with us as we pray, to actively use your prayer language, amen, this is why you have one, amen, and to let the sound of the Lord praying through you come through you, amen, It needs to go into the atmosphere, not just to your little self. No, release it. Release it. Take a deep breath and release the anointing that's in you. Some of the things that you can't get past, it takes so long because you don't press it in your prayer language. Press in your prayer language. Rokonda rogosa de regisete. Irugola lalia si de la bruca da ragese de la bri. Sulla la rio sunde de breca de rio sunde de brecia. Sharugo de regisim babalasha de la broca da. Yerugo de la brise de regi bebe sho raha. Ima mama ku de regise de la bruca te. Isha da rokoho regise de la breca de rivia. Risa de la broca de la breca de la broca de rivia de la bri. Sille la rio sunde de la breca he le leste de la bri. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan and his territory and his demons in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, channels, and open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar devils, electronic and technology devils, Leviathan spirits, Kundalini spirits, water and marine spirits, sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, sorcery devils, seducing, womanizing, drone spirits, Havana syndrome, brain changes, injuries, remote viewing devils. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all the voices of the stranger and all their attacks, all targeted radio frequencies, pulse weapons, microwave attacks, debilitating sonic frequencies. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all hypnotic and trance devils, all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the hands of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind in the name of Jesus every order of magic and mystic art, all Buddhist, black magic, Santeria, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, Australian, European, Caribbean and Latin American, black magic and white magic in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all the Buddha demons. We bind all the Muhammad Muslim demons in Jesus' name. And we forbid them to attack us in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all Morgellons attacks in the name of Jesus. We bind all the Masonic attacks in the name of Jesus. And we return them to sender in Jesus' name. We forbid them to attack us. We raise the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. We thank you, Father, for your wall of fire protecting us with your glory in the midst. We thank you that you've given us the armor of God. We wear it continually in Jesus' name. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It never loses power. We thank you. We give you praise, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We bind all Morgellons attacks and return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils, all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits. We bind every demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that's been committed. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bind the Mandela effect and all satanic ritual abuse devils, all satanic worship, and all witchcraft dedications in Jesus' name. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects, all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity and supplanting. We bind the gods of the people of the land and the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, human reasoning, demonic knowledge against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We bind every devil in the name of Jesus Christ. We chain them with eternal chains unto darkness. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and New Age movement, the spirits and works of the oppressors, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, BioPK, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every spirit that brings a demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, fecal, or soulish sacrifices. We bind you in Jesus' name. We bind the king of pride and his entire kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptations to sin. We bind every temptation to sin in Jesus' name. We bind Moloch and Basilek and Python and Baphomet and his 72, Neptune, Atlas, Mammon, Apollyon, Zeus, Baal, Beelzebub, and Belial in Jesus' name. Belial, we bind you. We forbid you to drag us or our loved ones away from Jesus Christ and into sin and ungodliness in the name of Jesus. We undo the works of every demonic weapon in the name of Jesus. We bind the powers of every Masonic ritual and its ceremony and what it means in Jesus' name. Ruku, we bind all the fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, triggers, codes, tumors, and we return the afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head. According to the scriptures, we bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers, and we send their fear, harassments, witchcraft, and mind control back on their own heads in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge the truth of the scriptures that our names can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And if our names are not found there, we won't be coming home. So we thank you, Father, for our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life in Jesus' name. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the Middle East, for kings, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We thank you, Father, that by your sword we are disconnected and cut free from all ungodly silver cords, ley lines, soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, and all agreement with the demonic realm. We pull down and destroy protection around the ungodly, around the Satanists, around the witches, warlocks, wizards, and sorcerers in Jesus' name. We break the power of all their spells, hexes, vexes, and curses, all their fetishes, charms, sorcery, magic, voodoo, all the mind control that's used, the bewitchments, the potions. We bind it in Jesus' name, the torment, the pain, and the sickness. We bind sickness in every member of Miracle Outreach Ministries in Jesus' name. We take authority, dominion, and power over every sickness in every member of Miracle Outreach Ministries in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and cough it out. Every disease, every sickness, cough it out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every infirmity bound in the name of Jesus, come up and out. Every malady in the body, every ailment in the body, come up and out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every ailment, come out of the mind, come out of the emotions, come out of the eyes, come out of the ears, come out of the nose, come out of the mouth. Come out of the front and the back in Jesus' name. Come out of the skin. Come up and out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every malady, every sickness, every disease, come out in Jesus' name. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you even with the blood stripes of Jesus, because by his stripes we have been healed. Every disorder, whatever it is not of Jesus Christ. Because our Heavenly Father desires for us to be in health and prosper, even as our souls prosper. Every disease coming down the family lines, coming down both sides of family lines, every spirit of infirmity, you're bound in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to come up and out. We command you to leave. We uproot you in Jesus' name. We uproot you in the name of Jesus Christ. We curse your rootings in the name of Jesus, just as Jesus cursed the fig tree. You'll bring forth fruit no longer in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of our ears right now in the name of Jesus. Come out of our nostrils. Come out of our eyes. Come out of our mouths. Come out of every portion, every pore in our body. Come out in Jesus' name. Go into the cage and to the feet of Jesus to be judged now. You have no right. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Break it in Jesus' name. Break it in the name of Jesus. Irregularities. Imbalances. Tumors, pass out of the body in Jesus' name. We disconnect you from the blood flow. Pass out of the body in Jesus' name. We speak to our organs and we command you to obey Jesus Christ. We speak to our organs and we command you to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. We bind moles and skin tags in Jesus' name, and every disorder of the skin in Jesus' name. Come up and out of the people of God. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of the people of God. Holy fire, holy fire, holy fire, holy fire on everything that defiles the temple in Jesus' name. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord, for peace. We thank you for freedom from curses that resulted from our family sinning against you and us participating in the sins. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Rakata, family thought patterns. Rukasi, that are no more than demons. Family thought patterns that are no more than demons. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We chain you with eternal chains under darkness in Jesus' name. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Come up and out. We command you to come subject to the name of Jesus. We command you to come subject to the name of Jesus. Ruza de Rikisa de la Brije de Rohole de Asa. Ita Baba Sata Breke de Yosota. Sula de Yosota Breke. Rike, see, Father, we ask you to bless our travel. Wherever we must go and whatever we must do, we ask you to bless our travel, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody, take a deep breath and exhale and take a deep breath and breathe in the Spirit of God. Let him fill all those empty places. And, Father, we ask you to take these deliverances to completion in Jesus' mighty name. All weakness, leave the body in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Abide in me. Abide in me. Abiding is a term that many saints are not familiar with. Its meaning is important to our relationship with our Lord. It calls us to remain steadfastly, to go on being in a condition or place that we have entered into. Abiding calls us to continue without change or shifting, to be enduring, much as the original concept in marriage. You know, the original vows, before people started making up whatever they felt like saying, said clearly, till death do us part. Amen?
Amen?
That's the original concept. To remain alive in our Savior and allowing him to continually live in us. Abiding beckons us to a state of permanency, continuing forever without end. God is calling us out of the places that we have wandered into and back into his loving care. He is calling us out of repeatedly shifting from his grace to a place of self-reliance. I'll say that again. He is calling us out of repeatedly shifting from his grace to a place of relying on ourselves. You see, when you come into Christ, when you come to Jesus, you make him the Lord and master of your life. And that means that he takes care of you and you depend on him to do just that. It's not a passive thing. It's an active relationship with action taking place all the time. This dependence isn't just, well, I know the Lord's going to take care of it. No, it's active. It's moving. It's bringing results continually. It's not presumption. It has work with it. It's not just sitting back waiting on it to flop, to come off some cloud and drop on us. No, it's not like that. Dependence on God is active, ongoing, and moving continually. himself. Abiding does not sway back and forth. Abiding brings stability. Abiding brings stability. Abiding does not replace him, the Lord, with anyone or anything else. Nothing becomes more important and more prominent in our lives than the Lord and our relationship with him. So, abiding does not shift gears. Abiding doesn't change direction as the wind does. Abiding is steady, reliable, and sure. We must take care and give special attention to living every moment in Jesus and allowing him to live in us. No, I didn't say allow him to exist in us. Allow him to live in us. Allow him to live himself through us. The Holy Spirit says, I need to repeat that. Allow Jesus to live himself through us. That means that we cannot be in the forefront. Jesus must be in the forefront. We must learn to decrease that he might increase in our lives. We can't be the most important thing in our lives for that to happen. Jesus must be the most important person. Our lives must center in him. He must be the center of our joy. He must be our source of light. He must be our source of truth. He must be our source of love. You see, our dependence must be on him. We cannot bring forth his life in us if we remain disconnected from him. If we pull away out of neglect or apathy, we've disconnected from him. If we let our relationship lapse out of preoccupation with something else or just laziness, we have disconnected from our source of love and life. All that we delight in while we are in our prayer time, we must continue in. You see, there are still Christians that don't have a full prayer time with the Lord. They don't have a time in their prayer time when they are lost in him. Lost as in not knowing the way? No, that's not the lost. Fully absorbed in him. You see, there's a time in your prayer time, they should be, when the presence of the Lord is right there with you. It's a time of communion with him. It's a time of fellowship with him. It's a time of closeness with him. It's a time of intimacy with him. It's important for every single Christian, regardless of their age, to have a time with the Lord when the Lord is close. And we take that closeness with us wherever we go. Rather than leaving his presence, we should remain in his presence as we enter our day and throughout. As we submit to his will and obey his word, we remain attached to his lifeline. Yes, the Lord is our very lifeline. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you see, when we were embryos, they called us, when we were growing in our mom's bellies, when we were growing in her womb, we had an umbilical cord. It connected mom directly to the baby, and it brought life and nourishment, all that was needed. Well, you see, when you come to Jesus, you have a soul tie with him that brings life and nourishment and healing. We have a direct connection with Jesus Christ, a direct connection. However, if we choose, we can put a kink in it, and that's just not wisdom. Amen? As long as we remain and abide in his life, we will be useful in his kingdom. I must warn you of a seductive temptation. What's that mean? That means it's something that presents itself as something you might be interested in, but it's doing it in a very sly and underhanded way. You see, as you continue with the Lord, you will sense his strength flowing through you. You will have a sense of renewal, vigor, and unstoppableness. It is a good perception, but we must remember that we are but dust. We did not create ourselves. He created us. Yes, you're learning that the demons are subject to you when you use his name. But it is his name that must be present for them to bow. Your courage and enthusiasm in the things of God will be refreshed. However, your Lord is your refresher. He himself is your refresher. Humans have a tendency to err. It is a drawback of the flesh. Man has a tendency to desire attention, power, and sometimes glory too. You know, there are times when we want to take the credit for something. It does not affect all persons the same. Some are drawn to these weaknesses, while others have a far more truthful revelation of themselves. Some have had success given to them with minimal struggle on their part, while others have had to strive for each rung in achievement. Some experience failure early in life and learn lifelong lessons from it, while still others have never had a door slammed in their face. Well, in Psalm 118, beginning with verse 8, it helps us to veer into righteousness. This scripture helps us to veer into righteousness. Psalm 118, beginning with verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So it is to trust in the Lord than to place our confidence in people. You know, there are all kinds of situations where we tend to put our confidence in people instead of in the Lord. Even older relatives, when they need more help, they have a tendency to look to their family to supply the help. But truly, they should look to the Lord and allow the Lord to bring whomsoever he will and whomsoever he has prepared to help them. Amen? It is better to seek for safety in our God than to trust the government and government ruler. That's right. It's better to put our trust and confidence in the Lord than to place it in the government or a job or a career path or the military or government ruler. I was in the company of the saints recently, and they were discussing the present military situation abroad. The remark was made, well, the president said that he was going to show them. And I thought to myself, well, if you're looking to the president to fix the matter, you'll never know what God does about it. If you've got your eyes fixed on the president, that means they can't be fixed on Jesus Christ. You've got to make up your mind. To whom will you look for salvation and solution and answers? Are you looking to the government? Are you looking to natural resources? Or are you looking to the Lord? You see, saints, man is always looking toward the knight in shining armor to ride in and to save them. But I already have a Savior, and that position will never be open again. I have someone that will save me and rescue me and deliver me. His name is Jesus Christ. I am looking to none other. I'm not looking to the Air Force. He might choose to use them. I'm not looking to the Navy or the Army. I'm not looking to the Marines. I'm not looking to Congress or the Supreme Court or the White House or anybody in between. I'm looking to the Lord. And my eyes are fully focused on him. So, who are you looking to save you? To whom are you looking? Don't be so quick to answer. Your answer may not be correct. You see, you may say, oh, I'm looking to the Lord, but the Holy Spirit says, because that just might not be the truth. It's important to ask yourself this question because you really need to know if you're on the Lord's side. You don't need to be fooled or deceived or in delusion. You don't need to be in a make-believe world. You need to be in the real world. And you need to know who you are depending on. To whom are you looking? Psalm 146, verse 3 helps us out. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no. Don't place your trust in officials that promise things that they can't guarantee. That's what politicians do. They make promises, and either they keep them or they don't. But they can't tell you what's happening 2 weeks from now, because they're not God. They're just doing what they think they ought to do. Sometimes according to the law, sometimes not. So do not place your trust and your confidence in government statesmen and militia, nor in people who make claims beyond their abilities to fulfill. You know, there are young men that say to young ladies all the time, I'll always love you. And then they do something dumb and violate scriptures and tattoo your name on their arm. And 3 months later, you all are not speaking to one another. You see, there are always going to be people that make claims that are beyond their abilities to fulfill. So I urge you to keep placing all of your hope in the Lord. Keep holding to God's unchanging hand. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 23. Jeremiah has words for us to help us. Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, right here in the nasty here and now. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The wise person should not bask in their wisdom. You've met a know-it-all before. They know it all. Nor the mighty in their great strength and power. Well, all I have to do is make a phone call and such and such and such and such and such and such. Nor the rich in their bank accounts and security. Instead, let the righteous boast only in this one thing, that they truly know me. That's what the Lord's saying. If you're going to boast, boast in that you really do know me and understand me, that you recognize, perceive, and acknowledge who I am. In our recent fast, one of our daily scriptures from the Old Testament said that God called himself, I am that I am. Our theme song is, I am. So, it behooves each of us to get to know our Lord much better, to fellowship with him more, because he says, if you want a glory, you want to boast and bask in something, this is the thing, that you understand and know me. And I don't know anybody that can say that in completeness, in total entirety. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, there's more to learn. There's more to know. I don't know anybody who said, okay, I got it all about God. No, because that would be a lie. There's more to know. There's more to learn. Much, much more. And so, The Lord says, I am the God of all justice and righteousness. My love does not waver. I am steadfast, unchanging, and faithful. That is what I love. We must take time to get to know him. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Cursed be the man that trusts in man and maketh flesh his dependence, what he leans on, and in so doing his heart departs from the Lord. You see, we bring a curse upon ourselves when we place our trust, our confidence, and our reliance on people instead of placing our confidence in the Lord our God. Even relatives will fail you and come short of your expectations. When we give way to this temptation and walk in this weakness, we give an open door for the enemy to work against us. We are never to make people our source of strength, prosperity, joy, peace, safety, and love. You see, you can't give your heart to a lover when that part of your heart belongs to the Lord. I think that's plain enough. And people make that mistaken choice all the time. You find someone that you think is absolutely beautiful, or you think you find someone that's dashing and stunning and handsome, and you want to give, and no, you're not giving them your whole heart. Your heart belongs to the Lord. More people should know that. Our source is the Lord himself. Too many people look to other people to supply what they need. Saints, regardless of our needs, our source of supply is the Lord. Our source of supply is the Lord. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It is the Lord who supplies, regardless of the venue or the avenue that he may use to bring it to you. It is the Lord who supplies the need. So if you need something, call to your provider, the Lord your God, your provider, and ask him to provide your need. If the Lord chooses to use others to bless us, all is well. And if he chooses not, all is well. When we rely on our own strength and our own plans and the fulfillment of our own dreams, we create an open door for failure and much disappointment. It may sound like this. Well, it was always my dream too. Or I had planned to. Or I can get this done. It's my talent. Or I've done this before and I can do this. Or I can handle this. I don't need to pray about this. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. Trust in the Lord, not in your dreams, not in your plans, not in your agenda, not in your hope. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Well, if you're trusting him with all your heart, where do you find these other pieces to go someplace else? And lean not into thine own understanding, the way you figured it out. Well, you know, when I retire, I plan to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, when I get 40, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct. Who shall direct? He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eye, but fear the Lord, reverence the Lord, and depart from evil. What evil? The evil of leaning to your own understanding and being wise in your own eye. Amen? Amen. You see? It's the Lord that makes our plans. Our lives belong to him. Our lives are to be surrendered to him. That's right. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 13, Hosea chapter 10, verse 13, ye have plowed wickedness. Really? Yes. And ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way. Thou didst trust in thy way, not his way, your way. So, the Lord has to come help us, you know, when we get stuck. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. You think you've got this all tied up, all figured out, and you know just how it ought to go? He says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Pay attention lest you fall into sin. So you say to yourself, I would never do that. Beware, you are human too, just like everybody else who has already fallen into that trap. Temptations are designed to appear irresistible to you. Temptations are designed to appear irresistible to you, or else you wouldn't be tempted. Amen? They're not designed to turn you off. They're designed to try to turn you off. Amen? Amen. So our God, our loving God, is so loving that he will deliberately and intentionally allow for your certain failure when you rely in something or someone other than him. He will let you land on your bottom until it occurs to your mind that something has gone wrong. Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. You see, saints, there are times when we keep trying to press through in one particular thing. And sometimes we simply need to press through. But there are other times when there's something wrong, and the Lord is not allowing us the success that we're looking for because something is wrong, and he's trying to get our attention. Leviticus 26, ye shall make you no idols or graven image, neither rear you up a standing image. Now, you know all those monuments that are all over the place. They're standing images. If you ever gave your money to help build one and you didn't know that's what they were going to build, just repent. The Lord will forgive you. You know, you thought they were going to do something like the little museum where everybody's name is on the wall that passed in that war that gave their life, and instead they put some big statue or something or some artsy-looking thing that you don't even know what it is. They do that. Why? But they do that. So make you no idols or graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Well, I don't bow down to that statue. When you stand there and all that big thing, it's the same thing. Okay, let's just face it. Truth is truth. Verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. In other words, your crop is going to keep going until it's time to plant again. And ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. There are promises. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. They will not be going through your neighborhood shooting. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Well, what does that mean? Don't expect war to break out in your land. Don't expect attack. That is, if you're walking in covenant with the Lord. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Well, it's been a while since we won a war, hadn't it? Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Well, part of the covenant is tithing, offering, and alms. That's part of the covenant. God gives us everything. We give back what he requires. Amen?
Amen?
And ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. You've got so much new, you've got to make room for it, so you eat up the old. And I set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. You're not in slavery to anybody. But if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes or hate my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror. I will send terror over you, and it will come from me, God said. Consumption and the burning of diseases that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, God said, after all of this I allow to happen to you, you still won't pay me any mind, then I will punish you seven times more for your sin. And I will break the pride of your power. And I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. That means when you need God to send a blessing, you can forget it. It's not coming. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. So you go to the grocery store now, and you see produce everywhere. Well, what about when you go in and there's none from anywhere? There's no crop to harvest. Verse 21, And if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, that means listening to God with the intent to obey him, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. You get plagues according to your sins. Seven times more. And I will send wild beasts among you, and they shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in numbers, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me, by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. Now, by now, somebody ought to be tired of this seven times punishment. Somebody ought to get the point. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. In other words, you're going to get a war till God satisfies that you know that you broke the covenant and he's not happy. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you. Well, it looks like it's arrived, don't you think so? Mm-hmm. And ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven. Now look, I bake my own bread, and I can't see me fitting 10 loaves in my oven. And they shall deliver you your bread again by weight. Not by loaf, by weight. They're going to measure it out to you. And ye shall eat and not be satisfied. That's a bad feeling. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. It's getting worse. Every time he says it, it goes up again. Now he's going to walk contrary to you also in fury. Who needs God's fury? And I will chastise you seven times for your sin. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. This actually happened to the children of Israel. They kept rebelling and kept rebelling and kept rebelling, and this actually happened to them. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. Woo! And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen and draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Some of our cities are already waste. Verse 36, and upon them that are left alive of you, I will send faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemy. And you shall perish among the heathen. And the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquities in your enemies' land. They've been taken captive somewhere else. And also in the iniquity of their fathers shall they pine away with them. So, and if they shall confess their iniquity, the iniquity of their fathers, with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also have they walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them. Who needs God to be contrary with them? Who wants that? And have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humble, then they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity. Now, I don't know anybody who really wants God to do this to them, but it happened to the children of Israel. Why? Because they kept doing the same old sin. And they did it over and over and over and over and over. They just wouldn't quit. He'd give them a judge, and they'd be okay for a while. And then the next thing you know, they'd be off again. Then they'd be okay for a little while. And then with the next one, they go into more abominations, more abominations, more, and just kept multiplying abominations. But if you will not listen to me or obey me, I will punish you with sudden terrors and panic and with tuberculosis and burning fever, and your eyes shall be consumed and your life shall do it ebb away. Goodness. Those who hate you will rule you. And if you still disobey me, I'm going to punish you seven times more severely. Goodness. Who needs this? Who wants this? Who wants to go bankrupt just because you won't obey God? Well, you're living in the land. You're seeing it happen. You're watching this happen. It's happening in your lifetime. This is live. You don't have to bother to turn on the news. You can just look around you because it's happening now. Let's see. Could you say that we won the Vietnam War? Okay. Did we win Desert Storm? In Afghanistan. But we have the most powerful military in the world. Is that correct? You know, saints, many times we lack strength due to our own sin, even inherited sin. Psalm 31, verse 10. But for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity. My strength fails because of my sin. That's what that says right there. My strength is failing because of my sin. That's dangerous. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. It's just downright dangerous, you know. Beginning with verse 13. And they forsook the Lord. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, and the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Saints, we must change to please the Lord. Our God gives strength and power to his people, but not when they sin against him and refuse to obey him. It's only when we're walking in righteousness that we can go in the strength of the Lord. It's only when we walk in righteousness, in right standing, right living, right thinking, right believing, right behaving with our God, that we can go in the strength of the Lord God. Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. We are blessed when we make the Lord our source of strength, and our heart is right with the Lord. We should not expect his strength if we're busy doing our own thing and not interested in obeying him. Verse 7, Psalm 84, verse 7, they go from strength to strength, from strength to strength. There's more strength to be had, but we have to be right with the Lord. We can't be depending on the flesh or government rulers. We have to depend on the Lord our God. Our confidence and our trust and our reliance must be in him. God causes us as his people. He works in us to cause us to will and to do of his good pleasure, the Bible says. Well, then, why aren't we doing it? Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength. He is the saving strength of his anointed. The Lord is my strength. This is personal. This is a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord where the saint is declaring the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped by him. Therefore, my heart rejoices, and I have a song to praise him with. The Lord is the strength of the righteous. He is their saving strength. When they're out of strength, he supplies more. But you can't disconnect from the Lord and expect his strength to flow. Yes, there is power in the blood, but you need to stay under the blood. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That's how you operate in your gifts and your talents and ability. You recognize, first of all, that God is giving it and that it's him causing you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's for his praise, his glory, that all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So, saints, the Lord has a word for us today, and that word is for us to abide steadfastly, continually, full confidence, and trusting in him, and not to place our trust in ourselves or our own strength or our own plans or our own abilities, and not expect the government to fix everything for us. Don't expect your job to keep all the promises they made. Who knows how long they'll be in business? Our confidence and our hope and our trust is to be in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Rise for the benediction. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this word. We all need it. We all need it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. And the church said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Pastor loves you. Recast and go talk to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Pastor loves you. See you on Wednesday.
Some have called